We're starting here on the bottom of Kof Chedem Bet by the Tashma. The Gemara is discussing the machloket between Rav and Rav Kahana about Mechzal Mechzal. When you have a 50-50 case, does it have a din kerov, or is it a din kemiut, or basically Mechzal al Mechzal? So that's the machloket we saw until now. The Gemara's assumption is that that machloket has broad application and applies even by Shkita. And what we're doing is bringing down Mishnayot at first, our Mishnah. And then subsequently with that, right now, we're going to bring down a Braita that seems to challenge that position of Rav, that Mechza al Mechza can be Kerov. We first challenged him for our mission that says, Chatzi Achad Ba'of, Ve'achad Ve'chetzi Be'beima. Then we brought the problem from the mission that discusses about Netzitza Tatanur, that you end up with two halves over there. And the implications are that the two halves, if you were able to be Mitzam, same would be Tahor, which says that neither half is a Rov. And now we're on to the next question, which is Tashma. Shachat chatzi gargeret v'shahaba. Person does a shechita on half of the windpipe. Remember that until you get to the rove of the windpipe, it's not a trefa. So all he did here was cut through half of the windpipe. If he stops at this moment and does no more, the animal is not a trefa, and it's not nishchat. V'shahaba. And then he does shia, meaning that he waits. Kedei shechita acheret. He waits enough that whatever he does after this is not considered connected to the first part of what he did. Now he's fine. V'gamra shchitato. Afterwards you finish the shchita k'shera. Why? Because the chatzi of the kaneh that you cut in the first place wasn't a shchita, but it also did not make the animal into a treifa. Well, if the animal's not a treifa, then afterwards when you do a new shchita, when you continue after you waited, you're shechting to get to the rove. When you shech to get to the rove, then you have a kosher shchita. Now, via Mart Mechza Mechza Kerov, if you hold like Rav, then Mechza Mechza Kerov, then when you got through half of the windpipe, you should have been done with the Shechita at that point in time. You should have been Kosher Shechita from the first place. Or, if it's not a Kosher Shechita, then you should at least be a Treifa. So Gemara says, Mechza Kerov, Itrefolo, then it's already a Treifa. And when you're Shaha, if you do the Shia at that point in time, then you have a Treifa on your hands and the Shechita is meaningless. Gemara says, Misavard Bebehema. The problem is, you're thinking it's an Ebehema. In a behemah, you cut through half of the windpipe, and you think half is the rove, then you have a treifa on your hands, and you didn't finish the shechita. On the other hand, if we're talking about an oaf, we're talking about a bird only requires one siman to have shechita on it. Well, the one siman, if you get through half the gargaret, you get through half the windpipe, if half is kirov, you're done. The shechita is done. And that's fine. Mimonov shach. I mechza mechza kirov. If you think 50-50 is the rove, havid lei ruba. Then you're done with the shechita. If you think mechza mechza is not a rove, then lo avad velo klom. You didn't make it into a treifa. You can go on and finish off the shechita. So mimonav shach, if you got halfway through, and then afterwards he goes and completes the shechita, mimonav shach by an oaf, you're going to be okay. Doesn't matter. Either you finished the shechita in the first place, or you did nothing in the first place. Either one of those will allow you then in the second stage when you cut to either finish the shechita, or to be doing nothing because the shechita is already done. So he says, that's not a question, Rav. Tashma. Hare share haya chatzi kane pagum. You come and find that the windpipe is already half cut. V'hosif alav koshuhu. And then you continue to cut just a drop more. V'gamro shchitato kshira. Then the shchita shkira. V'amart mechza mechza kerov. Treifa avyo. If you think 50-50 is the rove, then you already have a treifa on your hands. So here's a case by the oaf. This is different than the case before. We can't answer that over here. It's okay because it's not mimonav shach. Before it's mimonav shach because he already cut the first half. When he cut the first half, that means that he did either a shechita or he did nothing. And there mimonav shach is okay. Over here, the cut's already done. Cut's halfway through and now he's only extending the cut. So now you can't say mimonav shach. If the cut's a problem and chetzi is kerov, then you really have a problem on your hands over here. If you have a problem on your hands, then cutting it anymore, you're already cutting something that's already pasul or a treifa. So that doesn't help you in this instance. So amarova shiny. The Indian treifa to be in rova near the einayim. This is an unusual principle. We've mentioned this before, that there are two types of rove that you can have. You can have rove, which is an empirical rove, which means it's more than 50%. And you can have a rove near the einayim, as Rashi points out here, koma rove gamur shunikar, that I don't have to go measure it. I don't have to go take a ruler and figure out that it's more than 50%. I take one look at it and I know that it's a rove. We had this before earlier in the terms of rove shnayim, when it discussed whether by ola, you have to do full two simanim, or rove shnayim is good enough. Over there, we said in the Braita, why does it mention Shnaim and Rov Shnaim? And they said, because there are two types of Rov. One has come to be Matir, an empirical Rov. And then one, Shnaim, has come to say when it's a Rov Anikar Li Einayim. So the same thing over here. When it comes to Trefot, as Rashi says, a Trefot is something that you got to be a treifa when you see it. You got to be able to tell it's a treifa. If you have to go measure with the ruler, that's not a din in treifa. What do you mean? Isn't that a kavachomer? When it comes to certain treifot, we know that you don't need a rove even. You can have a single hole, a single puncture in the esophagus. That's enough to be poselet. A single puncture in the reyot, in the lungs. That's enough to be poselet behema. When you're going to acquire a rove, you're going to say, oh, it has to be a visible rove? Shchita, da'ad ika, ruba, lo mitkashra, lo koshkein, to be in a rove, very nearly ayim. Let's talk treifa. Treifa says that there are times when a treifa is a koshuhu. Treifa can be happen anytime. And now you're making a demand that treifot that need a rove near the ayim. Now let's go to shchita. Shchita never works with the mashu. Shchita always has to be a rove. So if I'm talking about a rove in shchita, it must be that I'm talking about a rove near the ayim. So how could you make a distinction in treifot versus shchita, where treifot need a rove near the ayim, and shchita doesn't need a rove near the ayim? Makes no sense. Either they both need a rove near the ayin, or they both don't. You can't have one be rove near the ayin, especially by treifa, and then by shchita not make that same demand. And if that's the case, when we're talking about here, there's mechza, mechza, you can't say mechza, mechza, it's like rove, and shchita's good. But mechza, mechza, by treifa, that's not good enough to make it a treifa. That doesn't make any sense. Ella, the Gemara says, kuli alma, mechza, mechza, enuk rove. That's the conclusion. We made a mistake over here. We made a mistake of applying the machlok between Rav and Rav Kahana to shchita, or broadly. Their machloket is a very narrow machloket. It's about a very specific case, and not a broad distinction in mechza mechza, and that is, v'chi itmar derab derab kana linyan pesach itmar. It was said about pesach, about pesach sheni. Hooray, shari yisrael mechza teorim u'mechza tmeim. You have klal yisrael on pesach rishon, half of them are tahor, and half of them are tmei. Rab amar mechza mechza kerov. 50-50, that's a rove. Rav Kahana amar mechza mechza ain't a kerov. Look at 50-50, that's not a rove. Why does that make a difference? It's v'hatam, my time of the Rav. What's the reasoning? If Rav holds everywhere else that mechza k'mechza ain't a kerov, then over here, why is he saying it is kerov? Because dichtiv, ish ish kia tmei l'tan nevesh. That who gets pushed off to pesach sheni? That's when you have individuals. Individuals get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But the Kahal, the whole Tzibur, cannot be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So now if I look at Mechza, Mechza, 50-50. So what Rav says is not that either one of them is the Rov. It's not that the Tahorim are the Rov or the Tmeim are the Rov. But what you don't have over here is individuals. You no longer have individuals. Once you reach the 50-50 mark, you're no longer dealing with individuals that are being pushed to Pesach Sheni. So true, you haven't reached the number, the rove, where it makes it in. If they were rove tmeim, then you have the whole kahal, and you definitely don't get pushed off. But on the other hand, there's a demand, if you want to get pushed off, that you have to be yechidim. It's already left the parsha of yechidim. It's a no man's land. It sits between yechidim and the tahal. So the demand to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni, Rav says, is to be a yechid. You're no longer a yechid. True, you're not a kahal yet, but you're also not a yechid anymore. And therefore, what Rav says you do is, the tahorim will do it by themselves, and they'll do it b'tatara, and the tmeim will do it by themselves, and they'll do it b'tuma, because they won't get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So it will be tuma utra b'tzibur, but only for the Tmeim, not for the Tahorim, because they're still not Rov HaKahal. If they were Rov HaKahal, then you could do the whole thing Bitumah, because they would that demand, or the fact that they are the Kahal, would make it that everybody does it Bitumah. But over here, since it's 50-50, they're not enough to force it over that everybody does it Bitumah. But on the other hand, they're not small enough. They're no longer individuals that we will push them to Pesach Sheni. So that's why Rav, in this one instance, says that Mechza Mechza is a din kirov. Mechza Mechza is a din like rov. It's not exact because neither side is really the rov. It just means that it's no longer considered the miut anymore. As opposed to every other case where Mechza Mechza is not enough to be the rov and not enough to change the din. Over here, Mechza Mechza will change the din according to Rav. So as I said, ish ish ki yitchele tamin the nefesh, ish nitcheve in tzibor nidachin. So we tried to broadly apply Rav and Rav Kahana's machloket to everything in Shas, especially to Shechita over here. Say that we're barking up the wrong tree. This is specific to Pesach Sheni. It's a unique din in Pesach Sheni. But everywhere else, everybody agrees, Mechza Kemechza ain't a kerov. 50-50 is not a din in Rov. The Gemara continues, Rov Echad Ba'of. So if you actually look back to the Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek, the Mishnah seems to be somewhat redundant. Because the Mishnah says, Ashochet Echad Ba'of. That's pretty straightforward. But then it says, Rubo shalachad kamo. That rove is sufficient. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda's statement, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ashish chot et avridim. Then we go like this. Chatzi achad ba'of, ve'achad v'chetzi b'meimah shchitah psula. That's not enough. But, rove echad ba'of, ve'rove shnayim b'meimah shchitah tok shira. So the Mishnah repeats a din twice, which is, in the ratio we say, Ruvo shel echad kimahu, and then the Seif again we repeat, Rov echad bahuf, and Rov shnayim bebehem ashkin totok shera. So the Gemara here wants to understand, why do I need to have this twice? Why do you have to tell me twice that Rov is ke shalem, or Ruvo is ke echad? So that's what the Gemara has here. Rov echad bahuf, tanin echad azimna. We already learned this in the ratio. Rov shel echad kimahu. That's the ratio of the Mishnah. So I'm Rabbi Yosha, Chada Bechulin, V'chada Bekodoshim. Our Mishnah is addressing two different issues. It's addressing both in Chulin and in Kodoshim. And it comes to teach you that in both of them, Rubo Shel Echad Kamohu, or Rov Echad is sufficient. V'tzricha, and why do I need it? Both Bechulin and Kodoshim. Diash meaning Chulin, had you only told me by Chulin that Rov is enough, Hatum Dusagile Beruba Mishum Dalav the Damhu Tzarich. The whole point of Shechita by Chulin is to be matir the Behema for Achila. Of Al Kodoshim, the point of the Shechita by Kodoshim is not to eat the Behema, it's to get the blood out of the Behema so you can do Zrikat the Dam and the Mizbeach. If there the Damhu Tzarich, Emelo Tiskile Beruba. Maybe it won't be enough, Beruba Adika Kula. You'll have to do a full Shechita because you want to get open it up more so you get more blood out. Via Shamina Kodoshim. If you had told me Kodoshim Mishum the Damhu Tzarich, because all you need is the Dam. Aval the Chulin, the Dam Lo Tzarich, Emelo Palgasagile. If you had just tell me Kodashim that Rov is enough, then I would say, fine, Rov is a din in Kodashim where I need the blood. But once I get to Chulin, Palga, half is enough. As long as I get to the halfway point of taking the life force out of the animal, and that's all that matters here. So Kamash Malon, the Kamash Malon is that both of them require Rubo Shalechad, and Kodashim it's Kula, because you would have thought you had to do the whole thing, and then we say Rov is okay because that's sufficient for the Dam. And Chulin, it's the Chumrah, because we thought maybe you don't need as much. No, the answer is that you still need a Rov by Chulin. So that's why we have two parts to the Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question, Hai b'chulin v'hai b'kodashim. There are two parts to the Mishnah. Which one is addressing Kodashim and which one is addressing Chulin? Is the ratio or the seif of the Mishnah? So Amar Rav Kahana, Mistava ratio b'chulin. It must be that the ratio is addressing Chulin. The seif of b'kodashim, b'mai. Miktani, because the Mishnah begins, Hashochet. Shechita is only applicable to Ofot in Chulin. When you talk about Ofot in the Mikdash, what do you do to Ofot in the Mikdash? You do Malika. So why would the Mishnah start Hashochet? If you look, what is it? Hashochet Echad Ba'of. So that's the Mishnah begins with Hashochet Echad Ba'of. That's only relevant by Chulin. It's not relevant by Kodashim. Yisakadatcha Reisha B'Kodashim. Amalek mi Ba'ilei. So Gemara says, that sounds great. Elama Seifa B'Kodashim. What are you going to say about Seifa? The Seifa, how does the Seifa end? Shechita Tok Sheira. The Mishnah ends with the word Shechita Tok Sheira after you say Rov Echad Ba'of. And Rov, Shnayim Bibehema, it says Shkita Tok Shira. So what you should have ended? Malika Tok Shira, Mi Boyle. Should also end it off with Malika, because you're mentioning over there as well. Where it says Halokasho. Let's look at the context in which they're written. I did Yisalik Mi Behema, Taminami Shkita Tok Shira, Ela Resha, Michte Al Ov Koi. So wait, let's see if the Resha is talking about Ov first. Yisalkadatcha Bekodashima Malik Mi Boyle. You have to look at the context. If you go back to the Mishnah, and you look in the Mishnah, the first item that's mentioned in the Mishnah in the Reisha is Hashochet Echad Ba'of. Of is the first thing mentioned. So Shechita is not relevant to Of when it comes to Kodoshim. So then the Mishnah should have begun Amolek Echad Ba'of. On the other hand, when you come to the Seifa, the Shechita Tok Sheira is written after the completion of the statement about the Behema as well. Where it says Rov Echad Ba'of and Rov Shnayim Behema. Shechita Tok Sheira. That Shechita is referencing to the Behema, which it finished with. And clearly, even in Kodoshim, a Behema requires Shechita. So even if you're talking about Kodoshim in the Seifa, it's still relevant to say Shechita Tok Sheira when you're referencing back to the Behema, which is the last thing you spoke about. So based on that, Rav Kahana suggests that's how we know that the ratio is talking about the case of Chulin, and the Seifa is talking about the case of Kodoshim. Rav Simi Bar Ashi Amar, Reisha B'Chulin. Sim Rav offers another way we can discern that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Chulin. Mehocha. Tiktani Echad Ba'of. In the Mishnah it says that one siman in the Of is sufficient. V'isagadatcha b'kodoshim. If we're talking about Kodoshim, Ma'ika Olat Of, Dubai Shnei Simanim. I mean, that's not definitive. In Kodoshim, one is true by the Chatat. By the Olat Of, you require two simanim. So how could you write that Shochet Echad Ba'of is fine? That's not fine when it comes to Kodoshim. Elamai Seifa b'Kodoshim. So now what are you going to do with the Seifa? In the Seifa it says Rov Echad Ba'of. That says Rov Echad Ba'of is sufficient. Well, Ha'ik Olat Ha'of to buy Shnei Simanim. You have the same problem in the Seifa because that says Rov Echad Ba'of. By an Olat Ha'of you record two Simanim. So it says, my Rov Echad, Rov Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Rov Echad Ba'of means the Rov of each Siman that was required by the Of. Well, B'Chatat Of, that means one Siman. Balot aviv, that means two simanim, but the ruv of each one of them is sufficient. Ubedinu, and truthfully, it could have written delitnei rov shnayim. It should have written even rov shnayim, because by olat of, that's exactly what it is, rov shnayim. But why didn't it write rov shnayim? Came into ikah chatat, the sagilei bechad. Because he wrote rov shnayim, that's not true by the chatat. The chatat only requires one. So it's bechad siman. So mishumachi lo psikale, it's not psikale. So they wrote it in an ambiguous way, so that it can be interpreted either way. It could either be in rov echad, means literally the one, rov of one, like the chatat, or rov echad could also be rov kol echad v'echad, and it would suffice for the olat tov. So they wrote it in such an ambiguous manner that it could work for either one of them. Rav Papa offers up a third way that we might know that the Reish is talking about chulin. Rav Amar Reish b'chulin mehocho, diktani, Rav Yehuda omer, ad shishchot et avridim, until he cuts the vridim to let the blood out. Uplige rabbonon alei. It's clear from the Mishnah, it sounds like the rabbonon argue on Rav Yehuda. It would make sense that the Rabbanon would argue in Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Chulin. Why? Because we don't need the blood by Chulin. By Chulin, we're not after the blood. We're after they taking the life force out of the animal. If we're talking about Kodoshim, where you do want the blood, the whole purpose of the Shechita and Kodshim is to get to the blood. Then what Rabbi Yehuda says makes a lot of sense, to cut the Vridim to get more blood. That makes a lot of sense. So therefore, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda argues indicates that it's a case of Chulin and not a case of Kodoshim. Because if it was a case of Kodoshim, even the Rabbanon would agree to Rabbi Yehuda's position and wouldn't have a machloket about cutting the Vridim. Rav Hashi offers a fourth interpretation about how we know that the Tani HaShukhet Shnei Rashim Ke'achad, that's the next Mishnah. Our next Mishnah, the Mishnah we're going to come up to after this, says anybody, someone who cuts Shnei Rashim Ke'achad in one shot, Shchita Tok Sheira. So over there, it's a shuchet tiyavid in l'chadchila lo. B'diyavid, it works. But l'chadchila, you can't do this. Iyamad bishlamo b'kodoshim, if you're talking about in the Sefer Kodoshim, hainu de l'chadchila lo. Then I have a limud that teaches me l'chadchila, you shouldn't shech two animals at once. Mishum detani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, the pasuk says, tizbach in dvarim, shlo yech shnayim shochtim zevach echad. So tizbach in the singular says that only one individual may shech, and not two individuals shech the same beima. Tizbachuhu. So over here, tizbachuhu is written chaser the vav. So chaser the shuruk. Although in the pronunciation, in the Kri, it's tizbachuhu with the shuruk in there. So tizbachuhu, shelo yeh achad shuchet shnei zvachim. That one person shouldn't shech two zvachim. V'amar Rav Kahana, how do I know that? Because the tiv in the pasuk is tizbachehu. So tizbachuhu means you in the plural shall shecht it. And it's also tizbachehu, who means that they also the singular form of the behemah. So one individual will shecht only one behemah. So that ktiv teaches us that it's one individual that is shechting one animal. So there we say, by kodoshim, I have a libud that teaches me lechatchila that it should be only one individual and one behemah that's being nishchat. And that's how I can explain the next Mishnah. Eliyamart b'chulin, if you say that the latter half of our Mishnah is talking about chulin, and that means that the next Mishnah is also talking about chulin, afilu lechatchila nami. Why not the chadchila? Where do you have a limo that tells you don't do this? Ve'af Rabbi Shimon Lachish Sava Reisha B'chulin V'Sefer B'Kodeshim. And even Rabbi Shimon Lachish agrees to this breakdown in our Mishnah. Damar Rabbi Shimon Lachish. Me'achar she'shaninu rubu shel achad kemo'u. Lama shaninu rov echad ba'of. V'rov shnayim b'be'ema. After I have in the Reisha rubu shel achad kemo'u, what do I need the second half of the Mishnah to tell me? Rov echad ba'of and rov shnayim b'be'ema. The fish is shaninu. Because I have a din by Kodeshim. This is in Masechet Yoma. When it comes to the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, remember that the Avod on Yom HaKippurim can only be done by the Kohen Gadol, and it says there, Heviod lo et tamid, he bring him the tamid kartzo. He does the shchita. Kartzo means he does the minimal shchita, which is rov shnayim. Umerak acher shchita to ayado, and someone else finishes off the shchita on his behalf. Yochod lo merak yehi pasul. I would think if the other individual didn't finish the shchita, it's possibly pasul. That's why we have in our Mishnah, Rov Echad Ba'of, V'Rov Shnayim B'Be'ema. So what do you see from Reish Lakish? Where from our Mishnah did he bring to the proof to Kodashim that you only need a Rov and not a Shalem? He brought it from the second half of the Mishnah. He didn't bring it from Rov Echad Kamo. He brought it from the second half of the Mishnah. The fact that he brought it from the second half of the Mishnah indicates that he thought that the proof by Kodashim that you only need a Rov is from the second half of our Mishnah. So now the Gemara investigates this a little more, the Mishnah from Yoma, which is Amar Mar. You would think that the other individual didn't finish it to be pasul. Mara says, what do you mean? How could you have the other individual? If you demand that the other individual finish it, and it must be finished by the other individual, then it's something that's an avoda that must be done, and someone else is doing it. Vitanya, and we have a braita. Kol avodot yom kippurim enik shirot elabo. When it comes to any avodah on Yom Kippur, the Gaon HaGadol is the one and only person that can perform them. But if you say there is a demand to finish the shechita over here by someone else, and you must do it, then you already have something in avodah that's being done by someone else. Gemara says, "Hachi kamar, yochliyei pasul midrabanan." Now we're talking about a psul midrabanan, not a psul doraita. Everybody agrees midoraita, you're finished here. Because if it weren't finished midoraita, the Kohen Gadol would have to finish it off. But maybe it'll be pasul midrabanan, that maybe we want him to finish off the shechita because midrabanan we want you to finish the shechita. Midoraita, you're fine. But midrabanan, we say finish off the shechita. The sakadat chamina ika psul midrabanan, akach shaninu rov echai ba'of, rov shayim bebeima, to teach you that even midrabanan there's no demand for this. Oh, so next line in the Gemara. Me'achar da'afilu psul midrabanan leka alam elin marek. Exactly, Tzvi's question. What do you mean? If you know, there's no psul midoraita, there's no psul midrabanan, why do we ask the guy to finish it? Gemara says, mitzvah l'marek, it's a good idea. It's a good mitzvah. Why? Rashi says, mishum dam. Right? The idea is here that we want the blood. And so the more you cut, the more blood you get. So by kodoshim, the bigger the cut, the better off you are, the better the situation is. Rashi brings down a second interpretation, which he discards. He says he doesn't like it, which is that maybe Barovam Hadrat Melech. That maybe if we get more people involved, then we'll have Barovam Hadrat Melech. Rashi says, well, you know what? That's not a consideration on Yom HaKippurim. Nowhere in the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim do you say, oh, the Kohen Gadol shouldn't do it all alone because we want Rovam Hadrat Melech. Why all of a sudden over here you're going to bring somebody in? The whole idea of Adat Yom HaKippurim is that it's not done by many. It's only done by the Kohen Gadol. That's the uniqueness and the special aspect of Yom Kippur is that nobody else can be involved. It's a spectator holiday. The Kohen Gadol does everything. So Rovam Hadrat Melech does not come into play here. So why all of a sudden would it come into play in this one unique circumstance? So Rashi discards that explanation and says he thinks it's Mishum Dam, and that's why there's a mitzvah to Marek. All right, now we move on to another machloket. It's a famous machloket. It comes up many times in Shas, which is Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Mishum Levi Sabo. Einon l'shchita l'besof. Shchita is a point in time. It happens when you finish the shchita, that's when shchita happens, at the moment that you complete it. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yishon l'shchita mitklav atzof. Yochanan believes that shchita is a process. Shechita is not a moment in time, it's a process, and the entire process is what creates the shechita. You have Reish Lakish who thinks it's a point in time, you have Yochanan who thinks it's a process. Amarova, akol modim hecha deshachat siman echad oved kochavim. Talking about an animal, and an oved kochavim comes and cuts one of them, v'siman echad Yisrael. And then the second siman is cut by Yisrael, sheep sula. Then everybody agrees that's pasul. Even though the completion of the shechita is done by Yisrael. And if you say shechita any in shechita basof, the end was done by Yisrael. Nevertheless, treinase ba maase treifa biyad oved kochavim. Oved kochavim, what do you call what the oved kochavim did? If you call it shechita, then we're fine. If you call it nothing, then the oved kochavim cut one siman fully. And then the animals are treifa. Because now you have one siman cut, and the animals are treifa when the Yisrael comes in and starts doing what's called shechita at that point in time. So even according to Reish Lakish, who says shechita happens at a point in time, at the end, you still until that point have to have it that the behemoth is not a treifa. And when Ovi Kachavim cuts one siman, you have a treifa on your hand. If a Yisrael does it all the way through, then the Yisrael, what he acts on is the process of shechita that will end in a moment in time, in a point in time. But if he's not involved until that point in time, what you have in your hands is a treifa. And a treifa, you can't have that completing moment where you'll have a shechita. But olat ha'of, when it comes to olat ha'of, where you need shnei simanim nami, heched amalik semen achad damato, v'simen achad damato, remember, an olat ha'of has to be done above the chuta sikra, even the malika of the olat ha'of has to be done above the chuta sikra. So over here he did one of the simanim below, like a chatat ha'of, and he did one siman above, like the olat ha'of. Psula, again it's pasul, shari asab ba maseh chatat ha'of lamato. He did something significant below the Chuta Sikra. Even though, again, according to Reish Lakish, the Shechita only happens at that point in time at the end, but you can't have it in a behemah that's a treifa before you get there. Over here, the Olat Ha'of, you did a siman below the Chuta Sikra, which is a significant action on the bird, and that makes it already into a treifa, a problematic bird, before you ever get up to above the Olat Ha'of. And therefore, even when you complete the Shechita afterwards, even though it's a moment in time, but you're shechting a treifa already, and there's not Shechita, there's no longer a process of Shechita. Lo nechelku. Their machloka says, "Kagon sheshachat siman echad b'chutz ve'siman echad bifnim." He did one siman outside and then one siman in bifnim. L'man damar yishna l'shchita mitchila v'atzof. The one who says, like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's a process mechayev, then you did shchita b'chutz. If shchita lasts from the moment you start until the moment you end, you did shchita outside. Yes, you finished it inside, but part of the process of the shchita you did was outside. The one who says shechita is only at the moment of completion, then the shechita that you did at the moment of completion was inside, and then you don't have shechita b'chutz, because you didn't do what's called shechita b'chutz. Now, this is different than the case of Ovid Kochavim. Remember, by the way, when the Ovid Kochavim does the first siman, the Ovid Kochavim, what he does is not called anything. What he does is like called making into a treifa. It's as if the animal had windpipe cut by itself. Nothing happened here. Whereas when the Yisrael does the shechita, even if he does the shechita b'chutz and then brings it in, even though according to Reish Lakish, that's not called shechita enough to make him chayav for shechita b'chutz, still the action that he is taking is an active action towards the completion of the shechita process at that moment where there'll be shechita. And therefore, that beginning of the shechita is enough to make the animal kasher when he ends up inside. There's actually over here a machloki between Rashi and Tosafot about what we're talking about. Rashi says over here we're talking about an oaf. I met a bird. A bird where he does one siman outside and then one siman inside. The Tosafot, on the other hand, says that he's talking about a case of a behema, where he did one siman outside and one siman inside. Tosafot's basic problem, the Rashi's pshat, is if you're talking about oaf kodoshim, why would you ever be poter? Once you've done one siman b'chutz, already by an oaf, that's a sufficient and significant action bifnim. That should already make you chayav. Forget about once you move in afterwards. Once you've done that significant outside, he doesn't understand why you would ever be poter in that case. And therefore, he rejects Rashi's understanding that we're talking about a malikat oaf. Even though the possibility, and what Rashi suggests over here, is we're talking about an olat oaf. An olat oaf that requires two simanim. Nevertheless, when you do one siman outside, you've done something that has significance inside, which is called chatat oaf. Chatat oaf by one siman has significant inside, so therefore by the olat oaf, if you do one siman outside, that's significant enough that you should be chayav. Obviously, Rashi is going to answer and say no. When you have an olat oaf, one siman is no longer significant. Because you require two simanim bifnim, therefore one siman b'chutz is not significant enough to make you chayav. So now the Gemara says, Amalei Rabba Bar Simi, since shechita is what's relevant b'chutz, then shechita de oaf kodashim is what makes you chayav b'chutz. If you do malika b'chutz, you're not chayav. So that's why it has to actually be shechita and not malika. So that's actually not, would not be something that undermines Rashi's. So now, Amalei Rabba Bar Simi. Rabba Bar Simi says, Mar, didn't, and who's that? Man Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef didn't learn like you. Heicha de shochat siman achad b'chutz, v'siman achad b'fnim, nami pasul. If you do one siman b'chutz and siman b'fnim, everybody agrees it's pasul. Shari asaba sa masei chatat of b'chutz. You did something that's significant b'chutz. If you do something that's significant b'chutz, it should be irrelevant that if you do something afterwards bifnim. Since you did something that's significant. Now, according to Rashi, well, the fact that he mentioned chatat oaf means we must be talking about an oaf here. And therefore, Rashi says we're talking about an olat oaf. And since you did something that was significant called chatat oaf b'chutz, therefore everybody's going to agree you're chayav. He says no. When he means that it's a significant, it means since shechita of one siman is chashuv by chatat oaf, therefore even by a behema, when you shecht one siman b'chutz already, you're doing something that's significant bifnim, and that's going to give you, make you chayav for shechitat kodshim b'chutz. Not that we're specifically talking about an oaf, but rather that's a way or an indication that the shechita of one siman is significant because we have such a case bifnim by chatat oaf. So what does he say? Lo nechul golkon sheshachad miut simanim b'chutz. There's a miut of the simanim b'chutz and gamro bifnim, and then he finishes inside. The Manda Amar Yesh Lina Ale Shechita Mitchilat Sof. According to one who says that we do Shechita from beginning to end, Michayev. Then you're going to be Chayev. You still did Shechita B'chutz. You did something called Shechita B'chutz. Yeah, you finished it Bifnim, but in the part of the process, you ended doing Shechita outside. The Manda Amar Yesh Lina Shechita Ale Basof Lo Michayev. Because you did the rove, you did what you needed to do to make a kasher animal inside. That's at the point in time that the Shechita was done, you were inside. So Meitiv Rabbi Zeiro. Rabbi Zeiro says, that's really true. Meitiv Rabbi Zeiro. Kol Ha'uskim Bapara. Anybody who's involved in the process of making the paraduma from beginning to end, if you're involved with it, number one, mitamim bigadim, your clothing will be tamei, and that your body is tamei to make your clothing tamei, you'll have to cleanse your clothing, you have to go to the mikveh. Uposlim ata melacha acheret. If you're involved in any other melacha while you're doing the para, if you're shechting the para and cutting something at the same time, you are burning up the para to make it to ashes, and you're burning something else alongside with it, it's posel it. If something went wrong during the shechita of the paraduma, Rashi claims that means that it was nitnavla. It was made into a nevela. Something went so wrong that the paraduma was made into a nevela. Tosfot, Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says that the psul over here is mishum malacha acheret. And therefore, that's what the psula is over here. So if something went wrong, ben kodem psula, ben achar psula, eino mitameh begadim, but whether it's before the time it went bad or after the time it went bad, never, nobody's ever mitameh begadim, because the process never got underway. Para aduma never got underway because you never got point past the point of shechita. Behazata, on the other hand, if the shechita went okay, and the problem happened when you have to do the sprinkling of the seven times keneged ha'ichal, over there, if it was kodem psula mitameh begadim, if it was before the time it went wrong, then you're mitameh begadim, because everything you did until that time was still a kosher para aduma. On the other hand, achar psula, after the psula of the hazaa, ain't mitameh begadim, because it's no longer a good para aduma. Now, the question is, iamart yeshlan l'shchita mitchilat sof, if you believe shchita is a process, not a moment in time, but rather a process, liflog nami b'shchita ta, you should be able to make such a fine distinction within shchita itself. When did the psul happen during shchita? Until the moment the psul happened, that's a kosher shchita, and therefore it should be metameh begadim. Whereas everything from the point after that will not be. If you think that shchita is at a point in time, I understand. Whatever went wrong in the shchita, that meant that you never got to the point of shchita and was never kosher at all. On the other hand, if you believe shchita is a process, that means a portion of the shchita went well. The portion of the shchita that went well, you should be metameh begadim. And that's what the Gemara asks. If you believe mechidat sof, lichlin nami shchitata, irub psul b'shchitata, kodem psula metameh begadim, nachar psula ena metameh begadim. The same way you make such a distinction in hazata, you should be able to make it in shchita. So Amar Rava, Rava comes along and says, wait a minute. Nitkalko shchita kamart. You're talking about a case where the shchita goes bad. Shani hotam, the igle milton, I'm afraid, the love shchita hiklau. If something goes wrong in the shchita, you know what it's not called anymore? It's not called shchita anymore. It's only shchita if you do the whole process all the way through. You have to complete the process. You know, it's very similar to baking and cooking on Shabbos. Cooking and baking are processes. If you never get to the point where it bakes or cooks, you're not chayav in the end. So if it stopped, the process of baking and cooking are stopped, then you're not chayav. It has to complete the process in order for you to be chayav, to be classified retroactively as being cooking and baking. You're chayav from the moment you started. That's assuming that it ends. And so it's over here by shkita. You're chayav from the moment in the beginning. It's called a shkita all the way from the beginning. But that assumes you get to the end point where you have a kosher shkita. If you never get to the end point where you have a kosher shkita, what you did in the beginning is also not called shkita, because you never had shkita over here. So that's what Rava says. You can't ask from that. So Amar Rava, ikashali halkosh. If you want to ask a question, this is what bothers me over here. The man domar ain't the shkita lebesof liflog bechshara de para. If you think shkita only happens at a moment in time at the end, then you should be meaflig in the hechshir of it. The para kigon shishachtu abitrei gavre. Say what happened? Two people did the shkita. The gavre kama lo mitama, the gavre batra mitama. I have a great idea for you. Let's it is. We'll have two people be involved in the shkita. The first one will do the first siman. The second one will do the second siman. When does shchita happen, according to one who says lebasof? At the moment in time when you finish. That means that only the second individual was there when the shchita was completed. If that's the case, only the second one's begadim should be tameh. The first one's begadim should not be tameh. Tamar of Yosef, trei gavrei b'chad zivcho? Whoa, what are you suggesting over here? Two people shecht one zevach? Kamart bar minei. You can't have that case. Dahu de tanino. We have the breita that we brought before. Tizbach. This book teaches me, Shlo Yeshnaim, Shochatim, Zevach Achad. Two people can't sechta a single Zevach. Only what? Tizbach is in the singular. Only one person does Shchita. Tizbachuhu, Shlo Yechad, Shochet, Shnei Zevachim. Tizbachuhu means only one person shechts one animal, not two animals. How do I know that? From a Kavana, because it doesn't say Tizbachuhu, Ktiv. It doesn't say Tizbachuhu. I mean, that's the Kree, but rather it's written as Tizbacheu. Tizbacheu means it itself, meaning that one individual Zevach. Amar le Abaye lavit marla. Wait, don't we have said about this? Amar Rabba Barchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Stimto. That is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that you can't have it be two animals. And it's Rashi, it's very interesting Rashi over here. Yesh, Yesh, Mishno, Brito, Tarbe. There are many Mishnayot and Britot. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is a very popular Tana. Virgilim Atanaim, Lusadram, Mishnah, Lashon, Stam. Since he's so frequently found in the Mishnayot, they tended to make his name Stam in the Mishnah. So even though it says it's Stam, and we have no authorship over here, nevertheless, we say this belongs to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar and Shimon. Aval Chachamim Amrim, Bet Shochtim Zevach Echad. The Chachamim say, disagree with that. So even though we have Tizbach Shlo Shnaim Shochtim Zevach Echad, even though we have that limud and it's a Stam limud, we assign that to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon's opinion. But the Chachamim disagree and say, two people can't shecht the single Zevach, even by Kodashim, it's no problem. So the question should be like this. According to the Chachamim, where you can't have two people, why don't I split the Shechita and make a distinction like that? The first person in the Shechita will be Tahor. The second person in the Shechita will only become Tamei because he's the one who finishes and completes the Shechita. And even according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Nami, even according to him who says you can't have two people do the Shechita, I have a great question for you. If log not could go into Shachat Chav Gavra, only one person is doing the Shechita, Bishnei Sudarim. But he had two sets of clothing. He started one set of clothing, and in the middle of the Shechita, he changed his clothes. So then the first set of clothing should be Tahor, and only the second set of clothing should be Tamei. So the Sudar Kama lo mitamei, the Sudar Badra mitamei. Ella, what's the answer? Bibsula de para kamari, bechshera lo kamari. We're talking about a case where it goes bad. We're not talking about a case where it's going well. I mean, the cases that you're coming up with are a question to the one who says, en shkita lebasov, are cases where it goes well, and you have a proper shkita. And when you have a proper shkita, you're saying, oh, within the context of proper shkita, you should say that the first guy is tahor, the second guy is tamei. Or, the first set of clothing are tahor, the second set of clothing are tamei. But that's not what the Braita is dealing with. When we're talking about the case in para, the Mishnah in para, the Mishnah in para is talking about a case where it went bad. So they're giving you examples when it goes bad. What's the defining point for when something's tamei and not tamei? Within psula, there's no such distinction. Because if it goes bad during shkita, you never had a shkita, and the para duma never got off the ground. Then if you had the psula and the hazata, then it got off the ground because the shkita was good, and then the problem only arose during the chaza. So that means that from before that point, everything is good, and you'll be tamei begadim. Whereas afterwards, nothing is good, and you won't be tamei begadim. So the distinction of the Mishnah is focused on times when it goes bad, not when times when it goes good. Ein ochanami, in times that it was a good shkita, you would have that. These cases would be true, that the first person or the first set of clothing would be tahor. But that's not what the Mishnah is addressing, and therefore you can't ask a question from that Mishnah. What's interesting over here is this is machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and we know Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish halacha ke Rabbi Yochanan, except for three cases. This is not one of those three cases. This is not one of the three exceptions where we pass on like Reish Lakish. Nevertheless, Rava holds like Reish Lakish. And we know the Loch is like Rava because Rava is a Batra. And we do Paskin like Reish Lakish over here. If we Paskin like Reish Lakish over here, then why shouldn't you mention it? So Tosfot says over here that because it's B'Shem Levi, because it's not Reish Lakish himself. Avagad Rava Svile Ochi, Avilo Ochi Lo Choshiv Le Bahadi Tlat Aloch Reish Lakish, the Gabe Rabbi Yochan, Mishum Tahach Mishmei De Levi Amra Reish Lakish, to the name of Reish Lakish, and therefore, it's Reish Lakish in the name of Levi. So it's not considered to be a machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we would say that this is the exceptional case. According to Tosfot, you can see over here that that's not even so clear that the halacha is like Reish Lakish, because you can see that the Rambam, Mishnah Shechita Mitchilat Sof, they bring it down, the halacha like Rabbi Yochanan. I think we'll stop over there.